This is the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
I also appreciate ESPN college football analyst Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk, he's good at his job, but sometimes he kind of gets the skis get away from him. And that's what happened last night on the college football playoff look-in, the ranking show. I don't care about the rankings at this point in time because the last
You still don't?
Not right now, no. I always the last one's the one that matters. So I don't get too wrapped up in that kind of stuff. Nor do I get too wrapped up in the justifications at this point. I've learned to let go of the week-in, week-out college football playoff rankings because last year I was driving myself nuts.
Let it go.
But thanks to Kirk Herbstreit, there was a little bit of controversy last night because he said straight up that there are teams, in this particular case, specifically Michigan, that would use COVID as a way to duck a game that they know they're going to take a big L. Here's Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN explaining what he means.
I think a lot of people wanted to see where Ohio State would be. The concern on Friday and Saturday was Ohio State. Are they going to have to shut down their operation? Are they going to potentially miss the Michigan State game? Maybe miss the, of course, the Illinois game. Are they going to have enough to be able to play against Ohio or against Michigan? And are they going to miss the Big Ten championship? And how is the committee going to? The fact that they've played four games and they're still sitting there in the top four. Now it comes down to they were going to play Michigan State Saturday. I still think Michigan waves the white flag, potentially avoids playing Ohio State next week. And then, David, they'll potentially get a game on the 19th. They could be sitting there with six games. And Michigan, is that fair, David? Michigan could opt out, basically, of that game and keep Ohio State out of six games to qualify for the Big Ten championship. That doesn't make sense to me, but...
Now, Reese Davis, who anchors that show, gave Herbstreit an opportunity to be like, are you want to clarify like what you're saying here? I mean, you're basically presenting with no evidence that Michigan is going to punt this game against Ohio State because they don't want to take the L. And essentially, Kirk Herbstreit doubled down.
I'm not going to sit here and let this stand that you guys just implied, and perhaps you didn't want to. I'll give you a chance to clarify it if you want, that Michigan will opt out of the game and dodge the game simply to keep Ohio State out of the championship game. If you're being facetious, that's perfectly fine, but I want to give you a chance to clarify there if that's, because I don't believe that for a second. You might not be able to play because they paused activities, but I don't think they'll dodge
it. I know they shut down their operation this week, and I don't know all the numbers as far as their COVID is concerned. I'm just saying we live in such a strange world that I've talked to a lot of coaches around the country that have said they really feel teams are opting out to avoid playing games because they don't want to get humiliated. They don't want to get they don't want to lose with the team that they have. They don't necessarily have too many COVID positives. They just don't want to have to take the field with the team they have and go get embarrassed. So they're basically waving the white flag and saying we can't play. So there's a lot of that that's being talked about around the country. I'm not suggesting, I have no idea what Michigan's situation is. I'm saying they have the power to potentially say, hey, we can't play next week. And there's nothing Ohio State could do about it if they decide to say that.
That was an exchange between Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit, who got in the hot water last night, Giglio, because he said Michigan would just quit and use COVID as an excuse because they didn't want to get crushed by Ohio State. Here's where Kirk Herbstreit screwed up, in my opinion. It's one thing for, say, you and I to joke. For instance, in the Big Ten, we discussed the hilarity that it would be if Indiana, who had won some games early on, suddenly goes, well, wait a minute. We're sitting here in our division, and we got Ohio State coming up. Oh, man, we got some COVID problems, Ohio State. We can't play this game now. Rules are rules. And suddenly they find themselves still atop their winning percentage and everything else. That's just called being silly, okay? Kirk Herbstreit straight up accused or called Michigan to do this, and he also screwed up by saying coaches around the country have told me this. Maybe they have. But that seems to me like in Kirk Herbstreit's position, you need to be the better filter here. They might be venting to you
about their frustrations with the way the season has played out, you know damn well he's talked to Dabo about it because his kid's a walk-on. So in this particular case, he did a poor job filtering what coaches have told him, venting versus what's actually going on. Because I don't think anybody truly believes that you would use COVID as an excuse to not play a game. You and I have talked about teams not caring, but there's a difference between a team that goes out on the field and clearly looks like it doesn't care versus straight up going, we ain't playing, and we're using this as an excuse.
What did ACC do yesterday?
Well, about that.
So they shortened the season for Clemson and Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting at here, this isn't a constitutional amendment that the Big Ten is facing.
Mm-hmm.
You just made up the rules 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
You could change the rules.
You can.
Okay, that's number one.
Yeah.
I know Herbstreit walks all of this back. I don't hate what he said.
Okay.
I don't. I kind of, and you're getting upset at him, or I saw Ralph Russo, AP writer, oh, there's no journalistic blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I think he is having conversation. He works a lot of games.
No.
And I think if he had presented it as, I've talked to different coaches at different programs, and the feeling is there are teams, because of everything they're up against.
Yes.
With the protocols, like we've talked about. And how many times can we commend Dave Doran and NC State for being this team, this little team that could out there, that has no national title race, has no conference title race, but up until this week has had nobody opt out.
Yeah.
Malik Dunlap transfers, one of their cornerbacks. So I get it. I get what he's saying.
Well,
and he could have presented it in a better way.
That's my
issue. I don't disagree with what he is saying, though.
Yeah, I see.
The other thing the ACC did yesterday,
what
they did was tell Florida State, you can't do this anymore.
Right.
That's what they did yesterday.
And that's fine. And that's good on the ACC for putting them in a position where they cannot just say the day of, sorry, we're not playing this football game. But two quick things. The first one is, you and I are kind of on the same page as it relates to Kirk Herbstreit and what he did wrong. He didn't do a good job filtering through what the coaches told him.
Right.
He needs to present that better. And where he screwed up was straight up saying, Michigan, don't be surprised, or it wouldn't shock me if Michigan just says, oh, we got COVID, we don't want to play this game. Coaches might feel that way, but you as a presenter on television need to filter that, because you then create this situation that you did.
I also don't think they would – I don't think Michigan – would do that to screw Ohio State.
No.
Just as I don't think Florida State
is
not playing these games to mess with anybody other than they're in a situation where they're living day to day and going, what are we doing this for?
Yeah, it's a really
tough. That's what they're doing.
And that's the problem that I have. Florida State really, they can't get out of their own way.
Florida State doesn't care about Clemson and what Clemson's up to.
They don't. They don't, but the ACC had to step in because of that very reason. The accusation is that Florida State did not want to play Clemson because they didn't want to get crushed, as though they haven't been crushed by Clemson before.
I mean, we got a meme of the guy reading a book.
Right. Yeah. Like this idea that, oh, man, they don't want to take the L. Dude, have you been paying attention to Florida State as of late? They've been taking some L's to Clemson. So all that stuff is the reason why Kirk Herbstreit screwed up. But Kirk Herbstreit then, in an apology...
Sometimes the apology.
You just apologize.
See, what had happened was.
You just say, hey, man, I got a little reckless on TV. Probably should have done a better job of filtering what the coaches have been telling me. But Kirk then went a little bit beyond where he needed to, and then he made me mad again. Here's Kirk Herbstreit on Twitter apologizing for his comment on Michigan.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to speak for a second about some comments that I made earlier tonight on our college football ranking show, made some comments about Michigan, about the potential of them waving a white flag and intentionally trying to avoid playing Ohio State by just saying, hey, we have too many cases and we're going to opt out. I have no business at all saying that. I have no evidence of that. It was completely unfair to the University of Michigan, to Jim Harbaugh, to his players and coaches. And I just wanted to apologize. I think if anything, I think we all go through some ups and downs.
He kept going
during this COVID crisis that we're all in. And for me, in college football, I really struggle with where players opting out, teams canceling games, it just seems like it's a downward spiral. And I think typically I try to remain positive and upbeat. And I think sometimes we all have our breaking points. And I think right now at week 14 with so much negativity surrounding the sport, I think that's sometimes a pressure point for me.
Kurt, dude, you could have just apologized and left at that. And instead, you create a conversation of, what did you think this season was going to be like? Did you not think that it was going to get to a breaking point? There's quote-unquote negativity. What's the negativity? I don't view it as negativity. I view it as, man, these teams and these schools are trying to do what they need to do to get some freaking football played and get to a college football playoff. If anything, I can't believe I'm saying this, I commend them for making it this far.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think the ACC stat was 88% of their games have been played.
That's really freaking good. When
if you would have told me 50 back in August, I would have said, take it.
So if I were Kirk Herbstreit, I would look at this and say, look, man, everybody's done the best they can freaking do in a pandemic. And the fact that they've made it this far and you're looking at a college football playoff is to be commended. You might have some thoughts as to whether or not they should have played football at all. Fine, we can have that conversation. But they did, and they've played that many games. Damn, man, that's actually really impressive when you think about it. But Kirk had to make this big, like, oh, man, I'm just so downtrodden by all this and these opt-outs. Well, it's within their rights to opt out. You agreed to these protocols. You knew it was going to be a clown show of a season, and you wanted to do it anyway because you need the money. So don't start sounding all depressed because, oh, you know, it's just so hard out there. Yo, it's hard for everybody. So Kurt needed to just pipe down a little bit on that one, too. Meanwhile, there's this other lament that apparently, oh, you know, with the college football playoff, it's just this, all the singular focus is on the four teams that are in the college football playoff. Yes. I'm sorry, was that not a feature? That's not the bug. That's the feature. You knew this. Yet we're acting as though it's a bug. No. This is what you signed up for. So don't start talking to me about how, oh, you know, it's just taken away from the bowl games. Man, nobody cared about the bowl games in general, unless you're a degenerate gambler or you don't like your family and you just want to watch football during the holidays. Wes Durham, he's in the country. He's from the ACC Network. He joins us now here on the OG. Strange
just
days.
Just like that. Week 12 ends today. Week 13 starts tomorrow, boys. It's pretty simple.
Hey, man. Week 12 is a state of mind, Wes. Just like it's a state of mind of how many games you really need to get into the ACC championship game, right?
Well, let me tell you, boys, we got ourselves a committee, and we got ourselves a subcommittee.
So
we found ourselves the path of integrity.
So let's thank you to the corporate champions. Let me provide some context here. Earlier in the week, the ACC announced that it's going to reconfigure their protocols into how they call a game. And they're also reconfiguring the schedule and just how many games are necessary to be in consideration for the ACC championship game. So Clemson's season is going to end this weekend, technically. Notre Dame's season is going to end this weekend, technically. And then Miami, in order to get to 9 conference games, will finish out the year with a game against Duke on Saturday, and then they'll close out the season against Miami, against North Carolina, I should say, next Saturday. Now, if Clemson wins,
potentially close.
Because
they may play Georgia Tech on the 19th, too.
It's a moot point if Clemson wins this weekend anyway.
That's right.
Because you'll get a Clemson-Notre Dame championship game. But it is interesting, and I commend the ACC for doing this, because let's just get this puppy wrapped up and get to the end as quickly as we can and not have any more embarrassing situations that we've seen out of Florida State, which gets to, I thought, the buried lead, and that is a change of protocols and how games will be called or postponed the rest of the way.
Right, and it brings into question the, if you want to use the term, teamwork of administrators, coaches, and then ultimately the medical advisory group, which features the chief medical officer for each school as it relates to athletics in the ACC. And ultimately, the timing on this got to be troublesome. Let's be honest, the Friday test was being done on the campus in the morning. The timing on that test, the results on that test were different, and it led to, two schools making a trip. You know, it can be argued philosophically whether or not, you know, the player in question should have gotten on the plane with Clemson. But what cannot be argued is that Virginia went to Tallahassee with who was going to be healthy and ready to play, to then find out they were not going to play. Okay? So you've got two different scenarios involving the same school in both, and that would be Florida State. How all that happens is up for debate and up for discussion, and probably will be beat around a little bit more once we get to the offseason. But the most important thing the league has to do right now is find a way to finish the season. If the path has gotten a little crooked here in the last couple of weeks, which it has, what was going to be the best way for us to reach the end and not be stalled out on that path was the objective here. And to me, they have met the objective.
Wes Durham, the ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. That is Joe Ovius. And Wes, I need you to help me out because Joe has completely tuned out the college football playoff rankings. He only wants to see them in the last ones. He doesn't care about these updates.
Last year broke me.
It broke him.
Yeah.
Well, Ovius, I'm not going to disagree with you a little bit on what you've said. So, I mean, what you've seen so far here,
yeah,
I don't disagree with you. Yeah. I mean, I'm almost, after last night, I'm about ready to tune out until the end.
Yeah.
However,
because what happened last night is just goofball to me. But go ahead.
Which part? I'll let you go before I
Georgia
get you back to my
– Yeah.
Okay.
Carolina, I get. Carolina played a top two team. It's a two touchdown game.
Mm-hmm.
But Georgia's, and I'm going to tell you, yes, 18 years doing the Jackets. I'll raise my hand and say yes.
Woody's boy.
Woody's boy. But I'll say this, you've played two meaningful football games this year, dogs.
Right.
You've gotten it handed to you sideways in both those meaningful games. Last week, you beat a team that barely could field a team, and you went up in the poll?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
No, I'm with you on that.
I had not even registered Georgia's movement. My question for you, Wes Durham, is this.
Sure.
What gymnastics will this committee do to avoid the opening round of the playoff being Notre Dame versus Clemson in the Rose Bowl?
They will take the committee exemption of the game just being played,
okay,
which actually has been done
before. That's a real thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they can rank them 2-3. I was thinking they might move Notre Dame up if Notre Dame had beaten Clemson.
Well, it'll
for a
come out.
Time.
No, okay, back up. It'll come out 1-4-2-3. It will not come out where they play each other. And then they say, by the way, here's the committee exemption.
That's a legit thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. That's been accounted for. That actually was
so
accounted
lower,
for in the original bylaws.
Okay, so the lower rated of those two teams
would move,
would play Alabama.
Right. That is correct.
So, to be clear, if Notre Dame beats Clemson, they knock Clemson out of the playoff and avoid having to play the national champion in the opening round. That's what's at stake here for Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
If they lose, will they be the 4 seed, do you think, anyway? I think either way, if Notre Dame loses, they play Alabama in the opening game.
Possibly.
Can I spoil something for you?
Sure.
Notre Dame's not beating Alabama.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
So quick to pick up the Notre Dame banner.
No, I'm not.
Honestly, I've taken away. Look, that win over North Carolina on Friday.
Oh, impressive, no doubt.
Because even you will admit that, and you've said, Giglio, that North Carolina offensively is better than Clemson.
They are.
In terms of skill position, their running back, all that stuff, right? The difference, obviously, is Trevor Lawrence is better than Sam Howell. But the point is, like, man for man, North Carolina has better skill position players than Clemson this year for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
And Notre Dame choked them in the second half. I was impressed.
I would say this. The Clemson at full tilt Notre Dame game got a chance to be a hell of a game now.
It does.
It's got a chance to be a hell of a game. But let's don't automatically assume here
that the portal's going to work.
Oh, no.
On the edge of my seat.
We had an access dropout. We're going to have to text Wes here to let him know.
I did not legitimately know that.
He's back. Oh, okay, you're back. You're back.
I'm back. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there. No. We got some nefarious things going on when we start talking about
sunspots.
See, Giglio's trying to get somebody bumped from the playoff, and the access gives out.
Can't be saying something nice about Notre Dame yet.
And as David Cutcliffe likes to say, and our guest, Notre Dame. let me add this. I still think Ohio State and I know they're Buckeye fans in the triangle here, so forgive me. You've only got four games in, kids.
Yeah.
We need to see a little more out of you, I'm sorry, before we go automatically parading you into the playoffs.
They pass the eye test, Wes.
They do pass the eye test in some respect, mm-hmm. but let's be honest here. You've played four games. Everybody else is going to be double figures. That's twice as many right now.
Can we also go to, there's no way they're leaving Ohio State out of this thing without a loss?
We've made that joke from the jump of this college football season.
What other evidence do you need?
Look, they moved Georgia up after they beat South Carolina.
They'll justify what they need to justify to make sure things are going.
Somebody asked me this morning what I thought about it, and I said, well, thank God they're in person to make that decision.
Yes,
that's right.
I mean, I'd hate for them to have to do it over a Zoom call if they're going to move Georgia up after beating South Carolina. I mean, Georgia plays Vanderbilt this week. Sure, you don't want to put them – are they going to be 6 or 5 next week after they beat Vanderbilt? Herein lies the rub on the committee, okay, mm-hmm. and the playoff for that matter. Notre Dame and Clemson is such a good game that Florida-Alabama will have to match it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're going to get two unbelievable championship games. The Big 12's playing for exercise and calisthenics. They're playing for the Presidential Freedom Fitness or mat patch or whatever you used to get in school.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea here is you're going to have two games on that Saturday that are going to be mammoth. How much, though, can the committee change the top four? I'm not sure they can. I still think you're talking about Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame being three of the four best teams. Even if Alabama were to lose, even if Clemson or Notre Dame loses, you're talking about those teams being really good.
Whoa, are you saying if Clemson loses the second game to Notre Dame, they'd still get in?
Tell me what the game looks like.
Yeah, last possession, that type of thing. I can see that. I can see that playing out. Wes Durham joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias.
By the way, we've gone to a timeout. Bill Walton talking about fish in a forest and Carolina and Texas playing.
I want to know where he's camping.
Oh, God.
Because he's not staying in a hotel. He's staying. I mean, I don't know if he's got some sort of primitive camp right there on the French Broad River. I'd like to know.
11,
no,
8
Bill
at
is,
the
no, no,
12,
no,
by the way.
Bill's in Canada, or in California, rather. Joe.
Oh, he's in California. He's actually not there.
No, these are home kit. These are home kit games.
So it's all home kit. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, he and Benetti are live from home. Walton's just come in from the TP to do the game.
Okay, because he keeps referencing camping on the broadcast.
Oh, he's camping. He's camping out in his house.
Okay,
yeah,
so it's
TP
like when
in the backyard.
It's like when I tell the kids we're going camping and it's actually on the other side of the creek.
I'd be in for that. By the way,
what, backyard camping?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. It's cool.
Zip line? I would break the zip line, though, in the backyard.
Dude, the zip line might not be able to handle that.
No,
that,
be able to handle
that load. No. So a little bit of breaking news that's coming out of, even though it is adult tested, a little breaking news coming out of the Maui Invitational in Asheville. Mm-hmm. It looks like Stanford, who North Carolina beat yesterday.
It's not breaking news. We had this yesterday.
Well, Tate Frazier from Titus and Tate told us that. Don't be surprised if.
Oh, okay. He used his
Stanford
Woj language.
Stays east to play.
Yeah, he's like, look, a little bit of a scoop here, but the talk is that Stanford's going to stay here and try to knock out some basketball games before they have to go back to California because of their county putting these new restrictions. And it looks this is actually going to happen now. Brian Hamilton, who I think is still at Sports Illustrated, I can't remember. Regardless, he said Stanford just finished up. They won't be leaving North Carolina. Expect an announcement shortly. According to Matt Norlander at CBS Sports, he's been told that Stanford's plan is to stay in Chapel Hill and use North Carolina's facilities. They've been in contact with a number of teams about getting in a couple of games before the scheduled December 13th matchup against USC. So welcome to college basketball in a pandemic, Wes.
Well, and let me also add this, too. Right now there's no guarantee they're going to go back and play USC because the next county in California that is up for grabs on the no physical contact is L.A. County.
Mm-hmm.
And that also puts the Rams and Chargers in balance. And the only reason I know that is because the Falcons are supposed to play in L.A. not this Sunday, but next Sunday against the Chargers.
Wes Durham joining us here on the OG. Alongside.
So you may see UCLA, USC, Giglio's boy, the Got Man, all coming east to play.
I don't think Got Man knows his spots inside the Beltline.
I don't know if we can handle the Got Man return.
I'd say if the Got Man shows up, there could be a lot of things going on.
A lot of things tonight.
Could be another shutdown.
Got better tonight. Got better tonight.
Got to guard us too, pal.
Yeah, got to guard us.
There's a plane waiting to take you to St. Louis, my friend.
Yeah, there is.
Think we can get him to drop by the studio?
Hey, I bet the Got Man. Hey, let me tell you something. The way you're handing out those Arctic tumblers, I bet the Got Man would get one.
Absolutely. You want one?
I've been doing a segment here for 10 years. I'd like an Arctic tumbler.
Wow. Well, no, but this is a running gag between me and Wes because it's like, oh, it must be nice. I would like a Packer and Durham mug.
Oh,
I don't have one.
Ooh. Okay. I'll get you a Packer and Durham mug in exchange for an Arctic tumbler.
Right, I'll send you an Arctic tumbler. We're good. Right, we got plenty of those bad boys.
Yeah, next time I actually do a broadcast in person there, I'll come by.
Yeah, what's that? What's that going to be like?
You have the heels this week, don't you?
What?
Kind of. Sure do.
Wes, this is actually a good transition point, you know, with Christmas right around the corner. We are curious, what would be on your Christmas wish list items? Would a Arctic tumbler be on that?
Yes, absolutely it would. I need another Arctic tumbler. I'd like the fan Arctic tumbler for sure. I'd like to be able to get back to normal and go travel and do games and see fans. I can't tell you how weird it was to go to Syracuse, guys. Mm-hmm. To be there for the game and nobody in the building. Just really weird, really weird.
And Syracuse is like your old haunts at the Georgia Dome, where it's that midfield level for your studio, for your broadcast booth. And it's open, right? Like, it's totally different. Different for, say, Carter-Finley Stadium or Keenan Stadium, but not, like I said, you'd be used to it in Atlanta.
Yeah, no, it's, and you feel for the people up there. I mean, they're going through the protocols and all the restrictions and regulations, but I mean, no fans. It's the second venue that I've been to this year where there's nobody.
I can't believe we've gone this long with you, Wes, and I didn't even bring up you had a great moment in Twitter history with me.
Oh, yeah, because I said it was an interesting game. you doubted me.
You said totally unironically at the beginning of that game.
Yeah.
We're Syracuse and NC State, last place Syracuse, just in the tank. And you're like, well, this is going to be an interesting game.
It's going to be an interesting game. And you doubted me on Twitter. Gilio, let you know.
Hey, I didn't say the broadcast wasn't going to be interesting. No. I just didn't think the game was going to be interesting.
And, hey, Ovis, that'll be the last time that happens, won't it?
Yeah. Gilio's already in a good mood anyway because I already told him he was right about something, and that was related to Cameron Indoor Stadium. I did not buy the idea that Michigan State going to Cameron Indoor Stadium with no fans was going to be that much of a factor. But in watching the game last night, I felt like something was missing. And how many games have you called inside Cameron Indoor Stadium? If things aren't going well or if things are going well, there's usually a surge of some point that happens in that building. The team, no matter how young it is, can feed off of that stuff. But there was a moment in the second half, off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact moment. I just remember when it happened. I had this thought, oh, man, this is a moment where Coach K comes out fired up, not happy with what the team's doing because Michigan State just hit a three or something like that. And the crowd's going kind of crazy about maybe they don't like a call or they don't like what's going on. They're getting grumbly about these types of things. And that has an effect on a team that was not present last night for Duke and Mike Krzyzewski's squad. Not that Duke's going to be bad or whatever this year, but it definitely was a surreal environment to watch Duke play Michigan State.
Yeah, and it was. And, you know, the first time I ever went in there with Georgia Tech was when there was the huge snowstorm in January of 1996, and Duke was still on break, so there were not 1,000 people in there that day. I mean, the snowstorm had hit, and it was, you know, tough to just get the teams to the building, let alone fans, right? And I remember it being kind of diminished that day. Nothing like last night. And to be honest, the television environment does not give you just how just how dry it's going to be for these teams. And you really do. And I had football coaches tell me this early in the NFL season. Mm-hmm. You really have to find a way to bring your own energy. And if you cannot bring your own energy, your team's going to be in trouble. And I thought Duke was a victim last night. They didn't shoot it particularly well, let's be honest.
I mean, Wendell Moore going 0-9, 0-6 from beyond the arc. I mean, that's not a good recipe.
But look at what Michigan State did. Michigan State had their own energy last night. They were also experienced. They were tougher than Duke. And, look, we're going to read way too much into the early stages of what of what this college basketball season is, and yet we got guys whose heads are swimming. I mean, they're traveling, they're testing. It's very, on a much smaller scale, but a much more intense scale, the same concepts that some of these football teams have gone through.
Wes, we got Mike Bray on Twitter asking for opponents, man.
Yep, and he's not the only one. No, Jeff Walls, the Louisville's women's coach, is doing it. The new basketball coach at Middle Tennessee State was doing it.
NC State this week, you know, they had their game against William & Mary on Monday.
And Kevin Keats is going to need to play Stanford here in a week or so.
He might. Well, yeah. No, he won't.
No.
He won't.
Why, is that not? Is that the RPI? Is that one of those deals?
You know Kevin. Stanford's a little too good.
You want me to play Zaire Williams?
No. Call Mike Schrager at Elon when they come out of the quarantine. They'll play Elon.
Elon would work.
Yeah, because
Elon. I got Kennesaw State. I can get Kennesaw State up there. Yep. I know the manager.
Yep.
I know the senior manager of the Owls. He can help. We'll get a game.
West Durham ACC Network, man. God. Brought to you by J.E. Womble and Sons. If they don't have it, you don't need it. All right, Wes, we will talk to you next week.
Hey, by the way, Jillio.
Sir.
Carolina and the Catamounts will not be interesting on Saturday.
Oh, I don't think you're allowed to say that. Ask your partner in the morning about what happens.
When what?
When Billy Packer, the famous.
Oh,
yeah.
It's over?
You can't say that.
You can't say that.
Well,
look out.
Billy. Okay. Take care, boys. Be well.
A lot of basketball on TV last night. But there was also The Bachelorette. So let's talk to Amy Ufnowski, our senior Bachelorette correspondent. Amy, how are you?
Hello, rose lovers. I'm fabulous. How are you?
I will admit that I was not a rose lover last night. I was a basketball lover last night. So I did not have a chance to catch The Bachelorette. But I've been told that this Bachelorette was unlike other Bachelorettes. Not as much drama for nearly 2 hours. We had serious conversations with our Bachelorette and her potential suitors. Is this correct?
That is correct. It's the second week in a row with some real serious conversations.
Are we getting to know these people better? Are you getting yourself attached to a particular contestant you think is right for the Bachelorette?
I think so. My verdict's still out.
Okay.
I'm still getting to know people. I'm not going to make some crazy brash decision. Quite, yeah.
You know what? That's all part of the journey on The Bachelorette. So I am curious, though, what was the journey of this episode that eventually got us to a cliffhanger? It wasn't all seriousness. They're going to hit you with the next time. So what happened at the end?
Well, there was the dreaded two-on-one date that came out of nowhere between Bennett and Noah. They've just been, feuding the entire time.
Is this the producers trying to get the fireworks going between two guys that are feuding?
I think there's some manufactured drama with this, but it feels like the big brother, little brother situation where the little brother is just there to annoy the big brother. And he's doing his job and it's getting under Bennett's skin and Noah's not going away. So
you said Noah's not going away, but here's what I'm curious about, because The Bachelorette is notorious for having the double whammy where the two guys can't get along and The Bachelorette is just not interested in that feud. So they both go home. So how do you see this playing out?
If I were her, I'd send both home. But
it's like, I got no time for this.
I got no time. I want a grown ass man. So
that's good callback from two episodes ago. That was the contest.
Yep. So, we'll see what happens.
Well, here's what I'm curious about. We'll close on this. Amy Ufnowski is our senior Bachelorette correspondent. And we have to keep people up to date with what's going on with The Bachelorette, because Twitter's all about it, even when there's basketball going on. There are 12 contestants left. But I feel like a lot of that is just filler. So of those 12, how many real – I feel like that's too many at this point. How many of these guys are actually contenders at this point?
Well, I think it feels like it's long for you because we've already seen one love story. Now you're like, okay, well, why don't we just jump to another love story and fast forward through it a little
bit? I agree.
But we're getting, a bit more bang for our buck, I feel like. But to answer your question, the top, I think there's four left, and she says she's conflicted and she's, creating multiple relationships and she has feelings for a few guys. And I think in no particular order, I think those four are Ivan, Brendan, Ben, and Zach.
All right, I'm going to handicap these going forward. I want to have. I'm jotting this down. I want to see if this is your predicted Final Four. It's kind of like you fill out a bracket, or it's like at the college football playoff. So we're going to hold you to this, Amy.
Okay.
All right, Amy Wifnowski, she's our senior bachelorette correspondent. I guess we'll have a very dramatic, cliffhanging ending thing the next episode. I cannot wait to talk about it.
Yeah, that we'll start the show off with, and hopefully you won't forget about it by the time the 2 hours are over.
I'm just saying that there were other things last night. This is why we rely on you.
There were. Yeah.
That's all.
A lot of other things.
It's time to play You're Full of Shit, Julio. Listen, I've known Joe has been full of shit since 1975, so this is old news to me. Here's Joe Ovius with the rules, but I can already tell you, Julio is definitely full of shit. And I should know, I'm his mother.
Thank you very much, Nora. Yes, Julio's got some trivia. It's up to you to determine which is true, which is false. And if you can, you get a $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito. Let's say what's up to Damien and Raleigh. Damien, what's up?
What's up?
All right, man. I feel like I'm going to call Damien the winner. I bet you this will happen. John and Raleigh. John, what's up?
How are you?
Good. You see, Damien was calm and cool. I like that attitude. Dallas and Raleigh. Dallas, what's up?
We're up, man. Let's do it.
All right, see. Oh, I'm Dallas.
You want to do some odds on this?
I don't know. You know what?
Should we all pick one?
I'm gonna put Damien 1, Dallas 2, John 3. That's where I'm going to rank these right now.
I believe in you, John.
All right,
you're not number 3 in my book.
Here's where we go with this. Jillio's going to give you some trivia. If you think it's true, you don't have to say anything. But if you think he made it up, shout out your name, and Nora will do the rest.
You're full of shit, Jillio.
If you're right and he made it up, you win. But if you're wrong and it's true, you are out of the game. Last person standing or the first person to call Jillio out for his BS wins. Let's go.
All right. Duke has won the Maui Invitational more than any other team.
Dallas.
You're full of shit, Jillio.
That's unfortunate, Dallas. I do appreciate you calling in and playing.
Dallas.
Duke All right, man. Has won the Maui Invitational 5 times. One more than UNC. All right. Damien and John. UNC has been to the Final Four every time it has won the Maui Invitational.
John.
You're full of shit, Jillio.
Did Ovius call Damien winning this thing?
I did.
John, I'm sorry, man. They've been to the Final Four every time they've won the Maui Invitational, but they have not won the national championship every time. Damien, you got yourself a $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito.
Damien was chill. He knew.
Yeah.
See, I told you. Damien, congratulations, man. Enjoy that $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito.
Appreciate it.
Sit tight. Randall gets your information. I don't know, man. Just had a hunch.
You know what the guy man used to say.
What's that?
Have a hunch, bet a bunch.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Well, boys, apparently there's a football game today.
It's country?
Apparently. It's not country.
Oh, okay. I'm curious now.
There's a football game today. And, you know, I feel for the NFL because, you know, it's hard to schedule these games. One might even say it's tricky.
This protocol is vital. Don't want to feel entitled to play a game.
Yeah, that's
the aim. It's tricky is the title.
Here we go.
It's tricky to play a game. Yeah, it's a shame, but that's the aim. It's tricky. It's tricky, tricky, tricky,
tricky.
It's tricky to play a game. Yeah, it's a shame, but that's the aim. It's tricky. It's tricky, tricky, tricky. This team is undefeated. Don't want them to feel cheated. But who's up next? Well, it's complex. Their roster is depleted. You think it might look breezy. If that were so, it'd please me. To play a game, yeah, that's the aim. But man, it's not that easy. It's tricky to play a game. Yeah, it's a shame, but that's the aim. It's tricky. It's tricky, tricky, tricky,
tricky.
It's tricky to play a game. Yeah, it's a shame, but that's the aim. It's tricky. It's tricky, tricky, tricky,
tricky.
I like how you dubbed over yourself. That was good.
Yeah, thanks. I had to.
Good.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio Show Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sportsfan app. Or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.